All right, we're being recorded. Rose, could you take roll for us, please?
Judge Conklin?
Present, thank you.
Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Judge Bradshaw?
Present.
Judge Clark?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Gabe?
Present.
Judge Getty? Judge Jessna?
I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Kamakarian?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Reinhardt?
Present.
Judge Rogan? She informed us she'd be absent today. Miss Cameron?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Roddy? Oh, it looks like he's here, but he's having audio issues. I'll account for you. Thank you. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi? Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, good morning, President.
And our advisory member, Mr. Theodorovich?
Present. Good morning.
And our liaison member, Judge Awani. Okay, thank you.
All right, Rose, thanks so much. So just getting the very quick procedural matters out of the way, I'd invite a motion to approve the minutes of our July 4th meeting, as well as the July 16th action by email there at page three of your materials.
Gabe moves.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yamasaki seconds.
Moved and seconded that the minutes of both those sessions be approved. Any opposition to the motion?
The only comment, Judge Conklin, did you say July 4th? I think the meeting was on the, wasn't it the 2nd?
It was. If I said the 4th, I was mistaken. Obviously, we weren't here that day, though some people were probably at work. I don't know. But yes, I'll deem by interlineation it's the 2nd instead of the 4th. How's that? Thanks, David. All right, Rose, was there any public comment to join us at today's meeting?
No public comment, Judge.
Great. So Rebecca's here as well. We just want to both welcome you to this meeting and start off with some special welcomes to new members to this committee, perhaps not strange or absent faces, but folks who many of us know from prior meetings, either through TICBAC or other committees. I want to welcome Judge Eric Bradshaw from Kern, Judge Samantha Jessner from LA, Judge Lisa Rogan from San Bernardino. Judge Rogan emailed me personally yesterday. She has a judicial commitment out of her county. She's not with us this morning. And Kevin Harrigan, Daryl Parker, and Mike Roddy. Good to see everybody as we've seen you either at this committee or on other committees. And we welcome you to TICBAC. It's my biased opinion, probably one of the most vibrant committees, advisory committees on the council, and we welcome your participation in that committee. Also, luckily, the chief has reappointed some members for us, David Yamasaki, Chad Finke, and David Slayton. So we're so glad that you are also continuing to be with us. And so now we're going to move to our business session, our action items. There's four of them that we have today. And Rebecca and I talked, and we also would like to preface the meeting with the comments about how appreciative we are of staff's continued effort with all this work. You know, sometimes we take up these action items, they go very smoothly, which I anticipate these will, and that speaks volumes to the work done ahead of time to prepare for these items. And as we all know, even though we prepare for these meetings, the true work behind the scenes is done by staff. So we're going to preface the meeting with thanks to all of you for the work you're doing. And beginning with Chris Belloli, who's going to join us and talk about the increased transcript rate allocation. This is an action item. And Chris, rather than confuse everybody, I'll just turn it over right to you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin, and good morning, everyone. This item is consideration of fiscal year 24-25 allocations of the $7 million funding to cover increased transcript rates. This is ongoing funding, so I suppose most of you have seen this item in previous years, and the allocation methodology has not changed. It's just been updated with new data. And so the allocation methodology is based on a three-year average of expenditures from previous years. And so we've updated that average with the most current year. Those allocations are contained in attachment A of your materials. I believe that starts on page 9 for those listening in. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you, Judge Conklin, for any questions.
Chris, efficient and effective as always. Thank you very much. Any questions for Chris about this action item concerning the transcript rate allocation? All right. And for those folks that are new to this committee, our typical practice is to follow that procedure. We have the presentation. I open it up for questions. In just a moment, you'll see I'll invite a motion. And then considering the Zoom format of this meeting and the number of committee members we have, my practice is to call for any objections. If there are objections, I'm not trying to in any way focus on that, but it's just a better record keeping method, in my opinion, rather than saying all in favor and then 27 people shout aye. This allows us to at least keep better track of that. So with that comment in mind, is there a motion to approve this action item presented?
Judge Kelly would move.
Judge Kelly, thank you. Is there a second?
Rule second.
Chris, thank you so much. Moved and seconded that this item be approved. Is there any opposition to the motion? And hearing no opposition, I'll deem the motion unanimously approved. Chris, thanks so much for your presentation. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Moving now to item number 2, which is also an action item. This is the 2024-2025 Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Pilot Program Pro Rata Distribution discussion for a mid-cycle allocation. As noted, this is an action item. The materials are set forth at page 10. And Melanie Snyder, the supervising attorney from the Judicial Council Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, is joining us. Melanie, always good to see you. And I turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me to be here today. We are here to ask that this committee approve the pro rata allocation method of distributing $3.659 million to the existing Shriver legal aid programs. We recognize the need, the current unmet need for legal services, and due to a fortunate situation with program revenues, we have some extra reserves, just a one-time extra reserve, and we would like this committee to please approve the recommendation from the Shriver Civil Council Implementation Committee and the Funding Methodology Subcommittee to distribute these funds on a pro rata basis based on the existing program allocations. And we would also ask that that the funding be allowed, the projects, sorry, be allowed to spend their allocations during the fiscal years 24-25 and 25-26.
Melanie, thank you. Are there any questions for Melanie about this allocation methodology and distribution? All right, I've paused. I don't see any. And again, I don't have everybody on my screen. So if I miss you, please don't be shy about speaking up. But I don't see any requests for discussion. So with that, I'll invite a motion to approve this item.
Judge Clark, I'll make the motion.
So who started that?
I think I did, Judge Conklin.
All right, Chad, thank you. And was there a second?
Judge Clark, I'll second it.
Judge, thanks so much. Moved and seconded that this item be approved. Any opposition to the motion? And hearing none, we'll deem it unanimously approved. Melanie, thanks so much. Good to see you. Appreciate your presentation.
Judge Conklin,
thank you so much.
Judge Conklin, this is Darrell Park. I have a question. Since
Okay.
I'm new to this committee, Santa Barbara is one of the beneficiaries of this redistribution through their contract with Legal Aid. Do I have an obligation to recuse myself on these votes?
No. So, and Darrell, I appreciate that question. It's clear our mandate as members are to consider these issues on a statewide basis. So, and that's been the practice of this committee for the years that we've all been here. So many of these items impact our courts individually. And if we had to recuse ourselves, we might have a hard time getting a quorum at some point. But it is clear, and I'll just speak for the whole, that as committee members consider these decisions, sometimes they impact their courts positively, sometimes negatively. But that never prevents them from acting on the good of the committee and the good of the state. And so, Darrell, to answer your question in a much longer answer, the direct answer is no, you don't need to recuse yourself unless for some reason, as we would say in the courtroom, you feel you can't give a fair vote or outcome. But I can't imagine that would happen.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the question. Okay. We have completed item number two. We're moving now to item number three, the firearm relinquishment grant program for 2425 through 2526. This is also an action item. It's at page 14 of your materials. And Francis Ho from the Judicial Council Center for Families, Children and the Courts also is with us. Francis, I'll turn to you for the presentation.
Thank you so much, Judge Conklin. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. So before you today are recommended allocations for cycle three of the Firearm Relinquishment Grant Program. This program was created in 2022 with one-time funding from the legislature to support the creation of court-based firearm relinquishment programs. The program does require each participating court to partner with at least one law enforcement agency to improve compliance with court orders to relinquish firearms and ammunition. So far, we have 8 courts that were awarded funding in cycles 1 and 2, and those programs have operated for over a year now and have resulted in over 1,600 firearms relinquished by 424 individuals. So we're really proud of our programs. So here we are for cycle 3. We have 7 courts who applied. All courts that applied were eligible for consideration. They each identified at least one local law enforcement partner and allocated at least 30% of their proposed budget to their law enforcement agency partner. As you saw in the report, we have about $9.1 million available to fund Cycle 3 courts, which is $2 million less than what was requested. So we had to come up with some recommendations to make $2 million worth it of reductions. So to arrive at that number, the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee recommends essentially 2 things. One is to not fund the Superior Court of San Diego, as the court already participates as a Cycle 1 court. They were awarded about $2.3 million as a Cycle 1 court and are currently participating. Also want to note that when courts were invited to apply for Cycle 3 funding, they were notified that new courts would get priority over courts that are already receiving funding. The committee also recommends specific reductions to the proposed budgets for 2 courts, and those, as laid out in your materials, were Alameda and Imperial. For Alameda, there were recommendations to not fund 3 of their line items in their budget. One was indirect costs for subcontractors, so in this case, law enforcement. For this program, indirect costs for subcontractors have not been permitted, consistent with the judicial branch's general policy against providing indirect costs for subcontractors. The second was to not fund food and beverage for mobile clinics, as the application did not provide information regarding the use of mobile clinics and the necessity for food and beverage at these clinics. And the third, and probably the biggest ticket line item that the committee is proposing not to fund are the salary and benefits for 4 full-time Family Justice Center navigator positions. While the group appreciated the proposal to have dedicated staff help victims and survivors, these services were described as client advocacy services, and the group decided that court-funded programs should provide neutral services. So it wouldn't preclude the court from asking for a budget modification to provide self-help services, for example, in restraining orders. But as written, the committee did not recommend funding that line item, which was almost $700,000. And then the reduction for Imperial was to not fund the cost to lease law enforcement vehicles. And that was a decision that the committee had made during cycle one on one of the applications to not fund vehicles under the program. So with those reductions, we are at our target amount of about $9.1 million, which is reflected in attachment A of your materials, which is page 17. And with that, I will turn it back over to Judge Conklin, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Frances, thanks so much. Are there any questions for Frances about this, the adjustments to the year-end balance?
Rebecca has a question.
Sorry, Rebecca, go ahead.
Good morning. I just, Frances, can you tell me with the reductions, were the courts communicated with so that they can, so they could communicate whether or not this is going to affect their ability to implement their plans?
So the plan is to communicate this to courts before it goes before the council, but I think we wanted to get it through these TICBAC and JBBC first before we took it to the courts. And we would ask them to provide an updated budget to reflect these reductions.
Okay, thank you.
Rebecca, you're concerned that we need to make sure they have enough notice?
Well, I'm concerned with the particular line item changes that there may be a component in there that precludes them from being able to implement the rest of their ask because of, say, staffing or vehicles or something like that. And so while I don't oppose the proposal of adjusting, you know, if we wind up having a court that is not able to implement the rest of their allocation because of one of these line items, I guess I'm just wondering if we're going to need to revisit that at some point.
So, Frances, I understand your, and I agree with your rationale. Do the courts generally know that this is coming? I mean, do they know that adjustments are going to be made so they're not caught flat-footed?
It's a good question. I mean, our intent was to give them some notice. So if we're informing them in October, and December is when the contract or the IBA would be executed, it gives them a couple months.
Okay.
These line items feel like more standalone and not, you know, not staffing, per se. The navigator piece would be, but that's a new service that they're, I believe that they're proposing. There are some existing navigators, I believe, in the application, and they were just going to enhance that service.
Okay, well handled. I appreciate that. So that's the, okay, and Mike, I appreciate your comment as well. That sort of, I think, sheds some good light on it. And I think everybody's seen Mike's comment that he just shared with us.
And Judge Conklin, if you don't mind, if I can provide some context for Mr. Roddy's comment. So because San Diego is in a kind of a unique position because they are currently a funded court, and so they're looking at modifying their existing budget. And so when questions arose about modifying their existing budget, we informed them of this recommendation so that they could take that into account because it would have impact their operations. Yeah. So, but San Diego is the only one that we've had that exchange with so far.
Great. Mike, I appreciate your comments. Thank you. And as was just pointed out to me also, this meeting itself is open and public. So this is not in any way an attempt to keep this information close at hand. This information is being shared even via this meeting. So my experience is those courts are always aware of what's going on. I'll turn now to Judge Jessner. Do you have a question, Judge?
Yeah, so forgive my lack of knowledge here, but if one of these courts says, for example, you know what, our whole plan was based upon the ability to have navigator services, so we're not going to be able to execute this, what happens to that money?
So if they decided not to participate in the program because of that line item, then what that would be kind of freed up, and then there would be a process for reallocating for two existing grantees, and that would go through the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee. That's part of the recommendation, and was also for cycle one and two, where the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee could do essentially like, you know, periodic modifications, check-ins. At this point for cycles one and two, if there's money left on the table, there's not enough time to reallocate. If anything, those courts need more time to spend on their money. That's the pattern that we've seen. But it would be freed up to existing grantees.
Yeah, you have a question?
I have two things. One in response to Judge Jessner, and then just a question. So I will say when the materials for this meeting became public, because you know one of the big line items here is Alameda, I did contact our justice partners and just said, hey, you might want to look at these materials, and you might want to note, you know, the proposed reductions. And while our district attorney's office expressed, you know, some disappointment in the reduction for the navigators, they certainly did not indicate that that would scrub the whole program. So just on that one, I don't think there's any concern that I think, you know, we may want to talk to them and the JCC about some kind of budget mod, but I don't think that puts the entire program in jeopardy. And then Judge Conklin, I certainly don't want you to repeat yourself. But thinking about the question Daryl asked on the last agenda item, I just want to confirm. I mean, given that Alameda is sort of the largest line item on this one, I'm happy to recuse myself from the vote. I know what you just said, and I understand our statewide perspective. I just want to make sure that applies in this instance as well.
Absolutely, it does. So swing away, Merle. Yeah, it's yeah, go for it, Tred. You're fine as long as you feel comfortable in making the vote from a statewide perspective. Please vote.
Okay. I appreciate the swing away reference, by the way. Thanks.
Any other questions at all? And this has been a nice discussion. Thank you. So with that, I'd invite a motion.
Yamasaki moves approval of this item.
David, thank you. Is there a second?
Seconds.
All right. Moved and seconded that this item be approved. After discussion, is there any opposition to the motion? Hearing and seeing no opposition, I'll deem the motion unanimously approved. Francis, thanks so much. Appreciate your presentation as always.
Thank you.
And recognizing we're well within our time, we're now moving to the final action item on our agenda. Those are adjustments for year-end fund balances. We welcome Oksana back. I'm always look forward to having your presentation, Oksana. I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. My name is Oksana Tug. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Beginning June 30th, 2019, Government Code Section 77203 allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. This is known as the 3% cap, and the operating budget is defined as actual expenditures, including accruals and encumbrances. Statutes require that by January of each fiscal year, after review of available trial court reserve for the prior fiscal year, the Judicial Council staff finalize allocations to the trial courts. Each court's finalized allocation shall be offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the 3% cap. Trial court submitted the final 3% computations with the year-end information, and the calculation for the adjustment to the trial court's fund balance cap for year 23-24 is displayed in attachment 4A on page 22 of the materials. Column M represents the court's final total reduction in the amount of $25.5 million. The following column O displays trial court trust fund funds held on behalf requests that were pending before the Judicial Council approval at its November 15, 2024 business meeting. Total of 27 courts have submitted funds hold on behalf requests totaling $24 million for fiscal year 23-24. Once approved by the Council, those requests will offset the final reduction of $25.5 million, resulting in net reduction of only $1.5 million. This reduction will be allocated to the trial courts in December 2024, distribution number 6. The recommendation before the trial court budget advisory committee today is to approve the 3% fund balance cap reduction allocation of $25.5 million, consistent with the trial court's final calculations of the amount above the 3% fund balance cap, which nets to $1.5 million after adjusting for $24 million in applicable funds hold on behalf requests. The committee's recommendation will be considered by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee and then by the Judicial Council at its November 15, 2024 business meeting. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any question if you have any.
Oksana, as always, thank you very much. Any questions for Oksana about this 3% holdback and the funds? So I remind everybody, I don't want to get too far afield from this, but this is different than, for instance, what the fiscal planning subcommittee, we met just yesterday and considered requests of courts about ongoing funds and those funds remaining so that they can complete ongoing projects. So that with the 3% cap, even though as some of us had hoped the 3% cap would have been raised, with that 3% and the other tools, I think it's an effective method we have to make sure we can continue with our work. But that's just my comment. Any other comments or concerns about this item? Questions at all? I'm looking for electronic hands or otherwise, and I don't see any. With that, is there a motion to approve this, the final adjustments?
Rule moves.
Chris,
David
thanks.
David Slayton.
Did I hear a second?
David Slayton, second.
David, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Moved and seconded that the 2023-2024 final adjustments for year-end fund balances be approved. Any opposition to the motion? And hearing none, the motion is approved unanimously. Oksana, as always, you were thorough and appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Judge Conklin.
So folks, that now gets us to half an hour into our 1 hour meeting, but we've accomplished our business. I'm just about to take us off of the recording. If there is anybody listening in from the public, this is a very recognize and accepted methodology, so to speak. We've done our public business. We're just now about to go into a closed session only for the purpose of discussing general educational issues before this committee. And if there's no other request for any other discussion or action by the committee members, I don't see any rows. I'll ask you to close the open meeting, take us off the recording. And I think, are we now closed, Rose?
Yes.